Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hey everyone, sorry for the late start. I was having some technical difficulties. I think as some of you might have seen, I know there's some comments noticing that Heather is not joining us for our podcast this week. So I'm going to be handling this all on my own. The topic this week, we are talking about, this is part two of We Can Reconcile. So today we're going to be, I'm betting here that some of you are wondering, okay, what do I actually need to get my spouse back? How do I actually help them to work with me? What do we need to reconcile? So I'm going to be sharing with you just a few of the conditions that are needed in order to make this happen. You can see here that I'm actually recording this on my phone. Like I said, I was having some technical difficulties, but we're going to make this work. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to talk about the client win of the week. As always, we want to make sure that we protect the privacy, so I'll change the name. But here we have Sarah, and Sarah saying that she's had a huge win. Her husband's going to leave the other woman and focus on his mindset, make an effort on their relationship. She's saying it's going to take time, but, here she is. They both want their marriage to be successful and not have it fall back into the old patterns. But great job, Sarah, on this. I mean, I know Sarah, I've seen her around. I know that she's been working for a long time on this, and it's great to see those efforts paying off. It happens all the time. When people follow these principles, it really does. It does work a whole lot. We see this time and time again in the group. So once again, good job, Sarah. Glad to hear this, and of course keep posting here if you do need some support. It's just the beginning. So our topic today, like I said, what is needed for reconciliation? What kind of foundational principles do you need to actually make sure that your relationship can be fixed? Last week, we went into depth about, what prevents reconciliation and why it doesn't happen for many people. But today I wanted to talk about, what is actually needed here. I'm going to, my thought here, we here with High Thrive Coaching, we always like to put things in lists and categories, pillars, principles, conditions, just to help things feel a little bit more organized. So today we're going to talk about four principles that are necessary. One being your mindset and your vision for your relationship. Two, a sense of security. Three, some shared values, goals, or shared hope. And four, some active effort towards repair of the damage. Some of these might sound obvious, but I'm going to go into it just so it... You'll get where I'm coming from after we go through all this. So if anyone's been following our content for long, if anyone's been following us at all, you'll know that Heather and I are really big on maintaining a healthy and positive mindset. The way that you think and feel has a huge impact on your chances of success. The thing is, you need to be in a good place if you're going to do anything to fix your marriage. The whole purpose, the whole reason why I bring this up first and the whole reason we bring it up at all is because if you can be in a good place, if you are healthy, you're going to be that much more likely to come across as confident and calm. And think about this. If you are hesitant about making a decision, if you are really... wavering at all, and someone comes along with a lot of confidence, a lot of reassurance, a lot of calm, you're much more likely to work with them. It feels safer. And this is what we want for all of you. thing is, if you are speaking from a place of insecurity or fear, it's absolutely going to bleed into your conversations, no matter how hard you're trying to be careful with your words. You know, I keep hearing people say, well, you know, I'm angry about this, or I'm upset about that, I'm frustrated about these other things, but I don't let my husband know about it, or I don't let my wife know about it. And I'm just going to tell all of you that you're not fooling anyone. Nope. Yep, there. Technical difficulties, right? You're not fooling anyone. If I can tell from a brief 5-minute conversation with someone about, and I can tell that someone's really upset about their circumstances, imagine your husband or wife who has probably known you for years. Imagine how much they can pick up on this. And I want to ask you even further. Can you tell when your husband or wife is upset, even if they're not saying it? Here's the thing. It's a lot of this is about mindset. The big question, though, is, you know, given the circumstances that a lot of you are in, you know, how do you actually maintain a good mindset? How do you actually feel positive? How do you feel happy? How do you feel calm or confident, given the kind of storm that you're in right now? I found that the people who find the most success, the people who work with me and are ultimately able to get their spouse back, they're the ones who decide that no matter what happens with the relationship, that they're going to be okay. And you know how they get there? They get there with practice, a lot of work, eliminating all the negative thoughts that they have and really reinforcing those positive ones. I can see here, you know, April, I can see your comment a bit that, you know, that he's really looking to you for some help now. And this is going to be an opportunity for you to be this calm, confident person in all of this. I think a good place to start concerning what you can do, you know, I always like to balance things out, especially with mindset, with eliminating the negative and reinforcing the positive. It's not just about getting rid of problems. It's not just about ignoring those problems either and focusing on what's going well. You need both. So eliminating the negative. I spend a lot of time working with clients where we really uncover some limiting beliefs, some subconscious patterns that are preventing you from having what you want. I remember taking a course recently, and you know, my wife and I were discussing some of this content, and we're talking about this principle that each of us have some limiting beliefs. We have some things that we're especially sensitive to, some things that we say about ourselves that really just trigger us a whole lot. And a lot of times our spouses, they know how to push those buttons. And a big thing with the relationships, a big question to ask yourself is the question of, are you taking in and internalizing any of their negative comments about you? If they are saying, okay, you're being uncaring or unkind, if you are being controlling or selfish, you know, are you taking any of that personally? Or are you just genuinely curious about what's going on with them and how maybe you can help those? Not sure what's going on. The video keeps pausing here. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought there with the technical issues. Like I said, you know, there oftentimes, you know, some of the negativity that might be coming from your spouse, it becomes really personal and people start really taking that in. And you need to be aware of those things that are triggering you. Otherwise, it's just, you can't do anything about it. And you need to take some time to identify those, to heal those items. You know, I'd love to get really deep into this, but how to do that? There's so many exercises that are out there. I encourage you, if you yourself are having a hard time maintaining your mindset, or really staying positive or really healing from some of these things, certainly we have a lot of services for that. But if you're not going to work with us, I do encourage you to get out there and work on this thing. Beyond that, like I said, the other piece here, besides just eliminating those triggers, the healing from some of that pain that might be going on, you need to really reinforce those positive points and identify what it is that you actually want. Imagine someone coming to you and saying, you know what, I know this is, you're not really wanting to go in this direction. I know you don't. Well, let's take this to a business point of view. Imagine someone wanted to work with you on a business venture. They said, okay, I have in mind that we want to work together. It's going to be a lot of work. It might even cost a lot of money. And it's going to require a lot of time. But I'm not really sure what we're going to do. And I need your commitment for that right now. Well, a lot of you would probably say, well, no, of course. And it's going to be the same thing with your relationship. You need to have a firm destination in mind if you are going to be that calming, confident presence for your spouse. A ship here without a destination, a ship without a captain, is very unlikely to get anywhere of any import. And the same is here with your relationship. So it's going to be really important for you to define what this marriage means to you, what the setback will mean for your relationship. If you are having troubles right now, you absolutely have to define all those things. And let's say, for example, that you want to have a great open relationship where you can communicate well with each other, be very candid about your feelings. Well, you yourself, if you're going to get there, you should find the feeling of what that feels like now. It's there somewhere. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be setting that as a goal. And you should be practicing the feelings that you want. If you feel confident in your destination, it can provide a sense of comfort and calm in an atmosphere that's maybe currently right now very tense and chaotic. So first thing here, that your mindset and your vision for the relationship is needed for reconciliation. I've not seen a single case that really worked out well without people working heavily on that principle. The second one, your partner needs a sense of security. Now, I started off with mindset because that's an area that you have a lot of control in. But if your partner is going to, even start considering working with you, they need to feel as though it is a safe prospect for them. I imagine many of your spouses out there have their walls up, their defenses up, and it becomes very difficult then, to show some of that calm demeanor, that comfort, that confidence. If the moment that you open your mouth, they're getting ready to defend their situation, defend their opinion. The big principles here for lowering defenses, it's the same sort of principles. If you're trying to de-escalate, a really highly tense, a situation where there's a lot of anger being tossed around, it's the same principles that hostage negotiators use to get cooperation. It's the same thing that same principles that people use to talk the individuals who are suicidal, maybe talking them off that ledge. It is a lot of understanding, a lot of empathy, and helping them to feel like you are on their side. It's, when the topic of divorce comes up, I imagine the initial reaction that you may have is, okay, there's an immediate sense of urgency, pain, an immediate sense of, okay, it's just of everything crumbling around you. And the natural reaction that many people have to these feelings is to turn inward, to focus on themselves and what they need, to defend what they need. And this natural reaction works against you. Your partner is going through the same thing. They are reacting just as much to the prospect of divorce or to separation or to anything along those lines. And they are focusing in on what they are looking for, what they need. And if you really try to fight against them, you know, those defenses are going to go up higher. They're going to, and you're going to push them further away. This is why sometimes you might hear me saying that, you know, really pushing on the relationship, especially early on, doesn't do you any good. It's because people are, you know, the person pulling away from the relationship is on the defense, and they need to feel that sense of security before they can come out of their shell and work with you on any level. So if you can help them to feel like you are on their side by speaking to their values. I have a young child knocking on the door. I don't know if I can. I'm not going to be able to pause this. Anyway. I'm sorry. I don't know how to pause this, everyone. I'm technically dumb on this. Mom is going to be right back. Sorry about that, everyone. I am going to take a journey here. 1 second, everyone. This is the joys of, you know, working at home. Normally my wife is here, but she stepped out of the house just momentarily to pick up our kids from school. She's picking up Emma and Lucy. She'll be right back. I'm in a meeting right now. Thanks, Stephanie. Like I said, yeah, this is what happens sometimes. Real life gets in the way of these sort of live events. You may have heard Heather's kids on occasion as well. And I'm very open, you know, about this. This is life. So, we are talking about a sense of security. A sense of, you know, helping your partner to feel that calm and confidence as you are trying to work on the marriage. We'll try to work through this with the noise. Okay, they will come in. Thanks for letting me know. Okay. Thanks, Crystal. Yeah, what's funny about this is, yeah, everyone's gonna, you can probably hear the doorbell ringing in the background. My kids are perfectly able to get into the house. My wife is probably with them, but they want to make sure to let me know that they're all here. Anyways, sense of security and safety here. So if they are feeling like you are on their side, you're speaking to their values, you're much less likely to meet a lot of resistance. The thing here is they need to feel like if they are going to come out of their shells, that they're not going to be attacked, that they're going to be able to get what they want, that they're going to be able to get what they're looking for here. And you need to be able to provide that sense for them to gain that cooperation. Thanks, Stephanie. So the big issue, yeah, we're losing my train of thought. This is wonderful about having the live thing here once again. Another way you can do this beyond speaking to their values, helping them to feel understood, really communicating that empathy, is by having a lot of plans, a lot of structure, a lot of assurance, a lot of accountability. Once again, we have the example of the strange businessman who wants you to invest a lot of time or effort or money without much of a plan. No one's going to take them up on that offer. But if they had a detailed plan on how things would work, on how you could have some check-ins and some accountability as progress went along, if you felt like they were working with you and what you needed, well, then it would be much easier to take a step in that direction. beyond this, you know, I've talked a little bit about, you know, helping them feel like you're on their side, but a bit, I said one of these other pillars, one of these other principles was that shared values, the shared goals, that shared hope. Sometimes I talk about this and my clients will say, well, we can work together, at least in terms of the kids. We can work together in terms of getting along, maybe running a business, running the household. But the really big challenge here then is being able to have those same, some shared values or goals or hope in any sense, even on a low level for their relationship. Crystal, you're saying your husband feels like divorce is a must and it's a business decision to protect himself. Well, right there, you have a way in by, and this is a good example. You have a way in. He needs to protect himself. He needs to feel safe. If you can help him to feel like you are right there with that goal for him, he's much more likely to work with you rather than against you. If you say, great, I want you to feel safe and I want you to feel like you can protect yourself, you know, and you talk about maybe other ways to get there, much more likely to get cooperation. This is the principle here. If you have those shared values or goals, it's really difficult to fight against someone who is agreeing with you, or fighting against, it's really difficult to fight against someone who wants what you want for you. You know, do they feel like you are on their side and have their best interests at heart? A lot of the, like I said, a lot of the time when we are in pain and we're desperate for something to happen, we turn inward. We look at what we ourselves want rather than focusing in on the partner. And this absolutely works against you. This also doesn't work, you know, if you don't have that mindset in place. Like I said, if you don't have a destination in mind, if you don't have some goals in mind, it's really hard to get there. So a lot of people go about this saying, well, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what I want. I'm not sure what my partner wants. But I know that I want things to be better, and their ill-defined goals work against them. So you really need to be certain about where you want to be, the kind of person you want to be, the kind of goals that you want to go about accomplishing, and how you're going to get there. This, once again, provides that calm, confident, reassuring atmosphere that is needed for someone to take some risks, like coming back to a relationship that they feel is uncertain. Of course, at some point, you do need your partner's cooperation. And I'm going to Crystal again, you know, Crystal's comment. He doesn't think that I have his best interest in mind. He thinks I'm out to take his money and take the kids. Okay. Well, sounds like you have some work cut out for you to convince him otherwise, that it's not about the money and you would love for him to see your kids. Casey, your husband, saying that he's unhappy, that leaving will achieve this happiness. I imagine that there's a much more defined goal in mind that your husband has rather than happiness. There's something that he feels like divorce will afford him. Happiness is just such a broad goal that I think it's a bit ill-defined. I think both of you need to, you know, work towards identifying where you do have some shared goals and values. Like I said, though, at some point, you know, if you're going to be able to reconcile, you do need the cooperation from your spouse. And there does need to be some active effort towards the repair of damage. A lot of these other principles help get you to that point, help bring your spouse to the table. They can help you to have the conversations about structure. And it can help your spouse feel safe enough to consider cooperating with you. But at some point, you have to have the cooperation from your partner. I know a lot of what we say, it talks about fixing the marriage on your own, but you do need an event. It's more like setting things up so that at some point you can work things out with your spouse. The thing here is, though, many of the points that I've discussed today need to be extended to your partner first. You need to have that active effort to repair some of the damage here. And once they feel that you are a calming person, that you are providing security, that you're working with them, and that they will be much more, they're going to be much more likely to cooperate with you. When they feel that you're trying to understand them, when you are making some efforts, and when you, you know, are really healthy, it makes you a much more attractive person to actually want to be around, and someone that they would really, you know, maybe even put in some effort themselves to fixing things. A big piece of this, once you maybe gain some cooperation, is to start realize, you know, start making everyone aware of the impact of the damage that has been done. You know, when I will quite frequently work with an individual to get their partner to a point where they want to reconcile, or they are considering reconciling. And after that, you know, there is that necessity to, you know, have some awareness of what's going on. You know, at this point, you know, this is where the real work begins, when you have a little bit of cooperation. And the goal then becomes to have both parties gain that understanding of the impact of their thoughts and their beliefs, their feelings and actions. I frequently get a lot of people who are highly motivated to make some changes in their life, to look inward and to, you know, to really make some big, large scale adjustments to the way that they're thinking, the way that they're acting, the way that they're feeling. And that same work isn't always done by your spouse in the meantime while you're doing all this work. And to bring them back up to speed is, you know, up to speed with where you're at, it's going to take a little bit of time. But if you can both approach this with some mutual respect and understanding, a lot of openness, a lot of candid conversations, it becomes so much easier then to reconcile, to come to the point that you both feel heard, that you feel like you can come out of this on the other end. Just looking through some of the comments here, as I'm finishing up just these principles, I'm seeing from Kristen that the happier that she's becoming, the more depressed her husband becomes. It's probably because you're missing some information there. You know, that means something to him, and it's hitting him hard for some reason. It is very likely that there needs to be some deeper conversations about what your success means to him. Continuing to look through comments here. Sky, you're saying, hey, a lot of the principles we were talking about today has worked great. Thanks for that, Sky. I know I've seen a lot of the your posts saying that things have been really working out. Anyways. That's, you know, this, of course, is just a really basic inventory. We didn't go super deep on a lot of these principles. It's certainly not comprehensive, but these are all things that are all necessary steps to have reconciliation happen in your marriage. If you're needing extra support, I mean, this is not a topic that you cover in, you know, like a 40-minute podcast. This is the kind of thing that you really dive in deep. You are going to want to research, that you're going to want some outside perspectives to gain a lot of insight into maybe how you are approaching things, and maybe making some adjustments there. Maybe help an outside perspective on maybe how you can talk with your husband or your wife a little bit differently to encourage some cooperation, or maybe just some feedback on your own mindset and maybe how that's sabotaging your efforts. This is the thing. You know, I would love to get so much deeper in these principles on these podcasts, but it's just not the platform for this. Of course, if you do need more support, you can see a lot of the people commenting on here seem to be getting a lot of help from our program. So if you are needing more support, please reach out to us. You can always go to our website. It's, you know, just www.highthrivecoaching.com. If you're looking to really get that one-on-one attention, you can just the same website, just highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And you can get on a call with one of our, someone from our team, just to see if this is a good fit for you, if any of our programs would work for your situation. So with that said, we're going to move on to our marriage myth buster. So the myth this week, you know, the last few weeks I've been going into more common myths, things that people step into the relationship thinking and ultimately cause problems. This week, I want to cover the myth that, you know, your true love will automatically know what to say and do to make you happy. And there's a lot of variations on this, but some of you might be rolling your eyes a bit and saying, well, of course that's not true. Of course my spouse shouldn't know what to say or do to make me happy. But you know what? Many of you might also be surprised about how often this belief pops up in relationships, even in, say, healthy relationships, even in relationships where you can understand that this is not what should happen. Thanks, Crystal. Crystal's just, yeah, expressing some gratitude for the program here. You know, that's what we're here for. But I'm going to give some examples on this, you know, and I want you to ask yourself if you've said anything like this or if you've heard anything like this from your spouse. You know, this tends to come about in two different flavors, that others should know what I want, or I know what others want, or I know what others are thinking. You know, let's take the first one, like others should know what I want. Some examples here might be, if he loved me, he would know what I wanted. He would know that I wanted whatever it is, you know, that I wanted jewelry or I wanted a vacation for our anniversary. You know, have you ever said or heard from your spouse that, you know, thought, or maybe have you ever thought yourself that your partner should know what you want if they really knew you, if they really loved you? Or, you know, another variation, like, she knows that I need a night out with the guys or I need a night out with the girls. Why does she keep nagging me about this? Or, I shouldn't have to tell him how much that annoys me, right? This expression that, you know, your partner or you should absolutely know what bothers the other person, and that if you are doing one of these things, it's because you want them to suffer. Another example is, why doesn't he or she know what I want? I always want the same thing. This idea that, hey, we've been around together long enough, I always ask for the same thing, they should know what I want, and if they don't do that thing, it's because they don't care about me. The other flavor here, like, I know what others are thinking, I know what others' intentions are, I know what others want. That you might find comments like, I just know they don't care about me. You don't love me. You don't actually want this relationship. You just want, you know, sex, or you just want money, or you just want a housekeeper. We had someone else commenting just a little bit ago that, you know, their husband just wanted, thought that the person commenting just wanted their money and they had to protect themselves. The thing is, with these sort of statements, we say to ourselves, well, I've been married to this person for a long time, and so, of course, they should know what I'm thinking, or vice versa. I know exactly what they're thinking. I know exactly what their motives and intentions are. The funny thing is, this falls squarely under a term that's called, it's a cognitive distortion. So in psychology, there's a list of errors in thinking, things that are bound to cause trouble in a person's life if they continue to hold these thoughts or feelings. And, you know, if you look up a list of, like, cognitive distortions, there's usually anywhere from a list of about 10 to 20 of the most common, but I can't think of a single list that I've seen that does not include the cognitive distortion of mind reading, which is exactly what this is. The idea that someone should know what we want, or that we know the intentions, thoughts, or feelings of someone else. The truth is that even long-term couples, very healthy couples, still are not able to read each other's minds. And this assumption in and of itself is what actually causes the trouble, when the reality is some simple communication or positive communication would solve a lot of these concerns. I have people coming in all the time saying, you know, my wife should know, or my husband should know that, you know, that I need regular sex, or that I need some regular time to talk. And instead of actually asking them, or instead of actually stating that that's what they want or need, they get more and more frustrated because what they need is not given. Troy, you're saying, yes, she said, I'm just your maid, childcare provider, another. And here's the thing. So Troy's wife is doing this exact thing. Assuming Troy's intentions. The thing is, like I said, studies have shown, though, that really, especially in stable relationships, if someone is using positive attention or positive communication, the studies are showing that, you know, I have the numbers here, that husbands respond positively to that positive attention or communication 81% of the time with what's needed. Wives are beat out the husbands just by small factors, 86% instead of 81%. But, you know, for the most part, most husbands and wives want to make the other person happy. And, you know, if they're not, it's usually because they themselves are, you know, dealing with some amount of stress themselves. So the important factor here it's not how much someone loves the other person or how long they've been together and the idea that there should be a basic level of understanding. The important factor then is positive communication. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I messed this up myself until I learned this lesson. You know, I learned that if I really want something, that it's so much easier to ask and, you know, get the cooperation from my wife, Jen, because I know that she cares about me and she wants me to be happy, instead of assuming that she knows what I'm looking for and then subsequently be disappointed by this. Crystal, you're bringing up a good point, a counterpoint to this, saying that when you would come to your husband about needs, he felt like you were nagging him. And this can be, you know, it steps a little bit into that other side of this, where he feels like he knows what your intentions are, that you're trying to bother him, or that you're unhappy with some of his efforts. And sometimes, you know, even, you know, us expressing this need can cause that. But if you are going about it in the right way and you are giving them a lot of that positive attention, you're making the requests in such a way that it's very clear that that you're not attacking them, it can quite often get around these sort of problems. This is a topic for a whole other discussion, though. Like, how can you actually ask for your needs? Which, you know, I just want to check in here. I know a lot of you are listening. How many of you would be interested in a podcast on how to ask for your needs appropriately? How to ask for it in a healthy manner that is less likely to be met with criticism or defensiveness. If you would like to hear about that, let us know in the comments, and I'll take a look at this another time. So I can't promise it for next week, because next week it's already planned out. So next week we are going to be talking about signs that your spouse's story is changing and that they may be coming back soon. Stay tuned for that. If you're on that kind of brink where you feel like things are going pretty well and you're looking for some reassurance that you are doing well, I want to talk to you about all the signs that things could be rounding the corner shortly. But I think in terms of our plans, the following week we can certainly talk about that other topic of how to ask for your needs, how to do that in such a way to not raise up those defenses. So once again, if you do need help, if any of these principles that we talked about today are a bit difficult, you're struggling with making them happen, let us know, and let us know how we can help you. We certainly have services, we have support to get you the kind of answers that you need. So come on over and put in an application to call one of our team members. So thank you all for listening in. Appreciate the comments. It's always good to have someone to some comments to bounce off of without Heather here. So I appreciate it, all of you. Also appreciate your patience with everything going on in the background. Have a good week, and we will be back next week with our podcast on all those signs. All right. See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.